Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Third quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. It's Ask Greg time. Greg Pickle here to answer your questions on the Penn State football front. We got a bunch of good ones that came in after Penn State beat Iowa. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. I'll be reading questions and stepping out of the way. Well, not really stepping out of the way. I kind of I make Ask Greg about myself sometimes, and that's okay.
I'm on board with it.
Yeah. So these are your questions, and we kind of started something new last week. The best question that's asked, and Greg Pickle will determine that, will receive a Keystone Sports Network, a really sharp KSN polo shirt. So it's a pretty sweet deal. All you got to do is download the Keystone Sports app. If you haven't already, I suspect a lot of you already have. There's a button that just says Ask Greg. You click on it. You fill out a couple fields. You fire off your question. And then we'll get to a lot of these on the air, and then Greg will pick the best one, and you'll be in the running for that polo shirt. So let's start. Had a few of them really come in late. This was one of our better weeks as far as people getting amped up and fired up. This one came from Randy from Binghamton, New York. After viewing the power running of Noah Kane and the breakaway speed of the other backs, any chance of seeing a two-back formation this year?
The two-back formation. So we've seen that a couple of times already, but will we see it more? I don't know. I mean, probably would be my guess. I think there's some good times to use it.
Way to take a firm stance, Greg.
Yeah, right. Yeah. definitely took that one by the horns.
Definitely, possibly, maybe is
yeah.
the answer.
Okay, well, let's go with yes. We will see it again. But Ricky Ronnie likes to stick to what he's comfortable with. So if he's comfortable with that going into a game week, you'll see it a lot more than when he's not. That seems to be the going rate for some tricks and things like that with Ricky Ronnie.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, if anything, not a staple of the offense, but a supplemental piece. I think, you know, as we're getting into the second half of the season and you're getting some of these higher profile opponents, I think you've been saving some stuff as much as you can for games like this because, you know, we mentioned, you know, the desire to start fast against Michigan. There'd be no faster start than creating a big play, whether it's, you know, off some kind of gadget or what have you that we haven't seen before. The two-back formation just strikes me as something along those lines where it's not going to be something that Penn State does frequently, but a little different look where they can exploit something. I think the fact that Noah Kane, you know, you call him a power runner, he is. He's more, I would say he's more of a physical runner than anything. He's not 6'2", 230 pounds. He's, you know, just as big as the other guys. He just happens to be better in tight spaces and a little bit more physical than the other backs. But we'll see it. I think just the bottom line, your thoughts, Greg, we'll see it. But it won't be very frequent that we see it.
You nailed it.
Brad from Doylestown, you know, really the question on a lot of people's minds. He says, first, what a game. Penn State wins 17-12. I love that Penn State pulled it out. Greg, with you being a glass half empty guy, fair. If you were James Franklin allowed to be open about your thoughts on the refs, what would you say about John and Neil's crew and the job they did at Iowa? Let's pretend you're James Franklin. Don't go off on too crazy of a tangent here, but let's hear your James Franklin
wow.
after the game.
That's
don't do an impersonation.
No,
just say what you would say. If
yeah,
you were
I mean, I think if I was James Franklin after that game and I didn't have to worry about any repercussions, not just financially, but also, you know, personally, when you see these guys again, you have to deal with them as officials down the road. You know, I just think that the message would have been what fans wanted to hear, which was we thought the officiating was disgraceful and we thought it was not right. And we're going to ask the Big Ten for a thorough review of the game and an explanation for some of these calls. And we don't think that Penn State got the benefit of the calls, and you know, I think you'd probably want to know why the replay official overturned that call, Pat Freiermuth's touchdown. So, I mean, if James Franklin could have let loose, he would have probably touched on all of those things. And something tells me he may have even got a little Pat Chambers and made a point, you know, that Penn State doesn't get some of the calls other Big Ten schools seem to get. So, I think he may have done all of those things and more.
Yeah, his basic position after the game was, I really wish I could get into this, but there's no real benefit for him doing so. And I mentioned before, I think earlier in the show, I mean, it all blurs together at this point, but had Penn State lost, I think we might have heard James Franklin sing a little different tune. You know, the frustration obviously diminishes when you still win the game, and you're actually kind of happy that your guys faced this sort of adversity and overcame it and won a game against a pretty decent team at a hard place to play. I think he was just a little too happy about the result under the circumstances to really launch into the officials. But it would have been a different story had they lost. I think he would have been a little bit less careful about what he said.
Exactly.
But I thought he handled it well. I think he brought some humor to it and almost like shined a positive light on himself by answering questions the way that he did. So I thought that was good on him. I think it was the best thing for everybody for him not to get too carried away there. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, brought to you by us here at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, where if you fire off a question, use the Keystone Sports app. The best question each week will get a KSN polo. It doesn't really get a lot easier than that. Ask a good question. Cater it to Greg. You know, appeal to him in some way or another. If you ask wagering-oriented questions, those tend to do pretty well in his mind because I'm not sure he's well. He is a glass-half-empty guy, though. We got that right. Brad got that right. How about Steve from Huntington Valley, another one that pertains to the officiating against Iowa. During Saturday's game, he tweeted that a pool reporter process had been initiated to get clarity on why the officials overturned the Freiermuth touchdown. Can you talk a little bit about the pool reporter process, how it works, and how often it gets initiated?
Yeah, so, I mean, you hear it more, I think, in political circles than you do in sports circles, but you know, the pool reporter is basically just the person selected to go talk to some, you know, it's somebody who isn't, you know, available to the media often, or somebody who doesn't usually interact with the public. They pick one person to go talk to that individual, and then that person shares whatever they gain quote wise with everybody else. So in this particular instance, there was a conversation among the Penn State reporters that had traveled to the game, because Neil Rudell is typically the one from the Altoona Mirror who handles these sort of things. He's the pool reporter at Beaver Stadium. But on the road, you have to ask Iowa's communications group to initiate the pool reporter process, which is, again, trying to get somebody, a reporter, in the room with either John O'Neill after the game or Tom Kissinger, the replay official, to gain an understanding of what happened. So from the Penn State side, Audrey Snyder from The Athletic went to the Iowa communications folks, asked them to begin the pool reporter process. They were terrific. And it turned out, though, that they were unable to make either of those guys available because the Big Ten does not have its officials discuss judgment calls, which this was deemed to be. My argument would be that, of course, every call is a judgment call, so why do they discuss some and not others? But that's a little bit of the idea of how all that works.
Another question here. We get away from officiating. That's a really good explanation on the pool reporter process. Basically, one representative from the media as opposed to, you know, 40 hounding somebody that doesn't usually talk. Ryan from Clarksburg, Maryland says, what weaknesses has Penn State put on tape so far this season that future opponents will try to exploit?
You read that back to me one more time. Was it Penn State put on tape that Michigan will try and exploit, or vice versa?
That any a Penn State weakness that any opponent will try to exploit. Like if you're game planning for this Penn State team, one way, offense, defense, whatever,
yeah,
what would you try to exploit?
That is a great question. I mean, I think I would probably try, honestly, and exploit the punt situation, because we saw a punt hit Jonathan Sutherland that allowed a change of possession in the Purdue game. We've seen KJ Hamler get annoyed with not having the chance to return things,
yeah,
and put himself in some pretty vulnerable situations. So I think the one that jumps out to me the most is yeah, that. I mean, just trying to do the short rugby style kick and hit somebody, which seems to work better than it should. And, you know, frustrating KJ Hamler and hoping that maybe because of those frustrations, he'll put himself in a situation that's not ideal. Maybe a turnover, maybe a play where somebody holds and they didn't have to hold, maybe a bad return in a spot that the ball should have been fair caught or let go over his head because he just wants to make a play so bad. So I think that's really what jumps out to me initially.
You know what I would do is if I'm Michigan, for example, I would take a page out of Purdue's book in, you know, second, third quarters, overload the, you know, bring a lot of guys to the line of scrimmage right out of the gates. If this Penn State team is gonna be jittery to start, there's potential for that. If they're gonna be jittery to start, let's challenge this team and let's challenge this offense to keep their wits about them and do something that you haven't put on tape. And I think what Purdue did, I would tear that page out and try to apply it myself.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it too. Yeah, and really what, you know, I think what Penn State should be, and maybe Penn State talks about this all the time. James Franklin talks about the idea of what are your tendencies and what are teams picking up about you? And I think that sometimes you have to be careful because if you don't know what teams are picking up about you, you're not going to be able to game plan around it.
That's correct. By the way, Ryan, if this scores points with you, Greg, says KSN for life at the end.
Okay.
That sounds more like a sentence to me, but that, we appreciate your loyalty. That sounds like we're chained in here. Let's go to Tony from Edders real quick. Recruiting's been really good the last couple of years, starting to show up in second and third teams. Fair point. Penn State has especially done well in spotting and targeting talent early in the process. That's not a 4 or 5 star national recruit. Justin Fields is a good example of that. What particular traits do you think the coaches look for in spotting these diamonds in the rough?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, like Journey Brown's a perfect example of a guy that was a lower, maybe it was a 3-star recruit, but the speed was so appealing. Even if he wasn't a guy out there getting 724 yards and 10 touchdowns in a single game, his speed and his vision were so appealing that Penn State had to have him, even though he wasn't a 4-star recruit like some of the other guys they had been bringing in. So I think they look for guys that can do a lot of different things. If that's a lineman, it's a guy who can, you know, maybe play inside or play outside. If it's a corner or a receiver skill position guy, can that guy tackle? Does he play special teams on his high school team if he's a running back? And does he know how to run down and make a play? We've seen some of Penn State's running backs on the special teams units. So they look for that physical toughness and speed are two really big things when it comes to that diamond in the rough idea. And then beyond that, I think they look for someone with the attitude he's willing to do whatever he wants or what they need him to do.
Oh, that sounds like a terrible attitude, Greg. The first thing you said, who had the best question this week?
Yeah, we had some good ones here this week. I like the one about Penn State's strengths and the weakness and what teams are looking for, the second to last one we had there.
That's Ryan from Clarksburg, Maryland. So Ryan will be getting the KSN polo shirt. Good question as we move into the second half of the year. Very applicable question. So there you go. Ryan, thanks for everybody else for submitting. We're going to move on for now. We got one more quarter to go. Greg's Best Bets is coming up right after this.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.